Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm excited for the Mavs and Cavs, but I was thirsting last night. Like, no offense, the Duke-Ole Miss Bowl, after the way the Georgia-Notre Dame game, that couldn't match up to that.
What was the Duke-Ole Miss Bowl called? Did it have like a fun Cheez-It factory to it or anything like that?
The bad thing is I watched about 5 minutes of it, and I don't even remember.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even bother putting it on.
Wait, actually, was it in... It's actually in my... This is not great.
You put it in your notes?
I put it in my quick hits for today. Let's see. The Gator Bowl.
Oh, the Gator Bowl. Yeah. Of course.
Of course. Everybody loves the Gator. But so that couldn't touch my Sports Jones in. And just the rest of the NBA, man, it's a tough watch right now. The Cavs really are the best and most fun thing to watch right now.
I told you last night I put on the TNT games. That's what I ended up watching, and it really, you're 100% right. These games were, and listen, I watch a lot of Cavs basketball right now. I used to watch a bunch of the rest of the NBA. I don't watch nearly as much of it as I used to, partly because I'm the one blaming that the rest of the NBA stinks except for the Cavs, but it was a tough watch in so many ways.
Even Chuck has been a little bit, like Chuck yesterday kind of irked me.
You knucklehead.
I like it. I don't know.
You hated it. I just want to see you laugh.
No, but it made me laugh. If it made me laugh in the end, I'm going to like it. I got to say, Chuck yesterday saying you'd still take the Sixers over the Cavs.
That was classic Chuck, though.
Like, what
Chuck
are we doing?
He's openly admitted he's biased towards the Suns and the 76ers because those are teams he plays for. So he just makes comments like that to get people riled up.
Yeah, but this is the worst year. This is like saying the process Sixers could beat the Cavs in a seven-game series.
I didn't hear the comments. I saw that he made the comments. I didn't actually hear it. In that show, how the construct of that show goes is Chuck is supposed to say something to the idea of like, yeah, 76ers are better than the Cavs. And then Shaq is supposed to step in.
At the end of it?
Chucklehead. And then Shaq is supposed to come in and then be like the white knight of sorts, being like, it doesn't work that way. I'm not going to do a Shaq impression. I don't have one of those. I barely have a Barkley, as you heard.
That's not how it goes.
Hey, do you see the guy on Twitter that he goes back in time? He doesn't go back in time. Time stays exactly where it is.
But he does, wow, what are we breaking here on air?
He does inside the NBA towards historical events.
Uh-huh. And that'd be really funny. I've not seen that.
Like the killing of Archduke Ferdinand, the most recent one.
Now
he just kills it, but he does all the impressions. It is just so funny.
You've just sent me down a rabbit hole.
You're gonna love it.
I didn't know that I needed to go down.
You're gonna love it.
Which is good.
There's two things I gotta send you. I gotta send you that guy, and I still haven't sent you the Shane Gillis doing old-timey baseball announcers.
Ooh, yeah, that's... You just made my weekend. So we're actually going to play the Charles thing later in the show, because part of this was just kind of get to the point where the Cavs are 29-4. Aren't they 7-point favorites tonight in Dallas?
That would make sense.
So you've got that going on, and Fedor was on with Menigan. Now, I can't remember. Time's a flat circle. No. He was on with Danny Cunningham this morning.
This morning, yeah.
Because he was on with Menigan yesterday, but he was on today with Danny. And he talked about this start and about credit and where it is due and where it is not.
I know it's a hard situation for Darius, and this is something that his people were a little bit fearful of when all of that reporting came out following the season about, you know, Darius and looking for a different spot for him where it can kind of be his team, he can kind of flourish. You know, when you're playing with Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt and Donovan's going to get so much of the attention and he's going to get so much of the praise and he's going to get so much of the love, is Darius going to be able to make All-Star games? Is Darius going to be able to make all NBA teams? Is Darius going to be able to get the kind of recognition for the shoe stuff that his people want him to get? It's a wonder that people have inside his camp of how much recognition is he going to get for what the Cavs have done, for what the Cavs have become.
So I think what really matters when we react to this answer, is this Darius's camp or is Darius's camp cover for Darius?
I mean, based off the Miles convo we had, this should enrage you. Or do the Cavs not, does it not rate the same way because they're a good team?
They're 29-4, but does it concern me? Yeah. Yeah, because here's the thing. Darius just got his trade value back. So I would like to keep Darius in a spot where he's not publicly leaking, or his camp or whatever is publicly leaking trades, because if you do have to move on from Darius, I want it to be when you can maximize that value and slingshot you forward. I will say this is a bit concerning to hear talking about when you're 29-4.
That sounds like a me move, does it not? Not like a me personally, but like a look at me type.
I was like,
move.
I don't think you would do this.
No. But you know,
I could be happy with being 29-4, JP.
But like, he clearly wants. But he's right. He's right in the idea that Darius is going to get overlooked in all of this. And I think this comes off of the idea the first round of the All-Star voting came in, and Darius was not one of the top 10 guards in the East. And probably that doesn't seem right to me at all, but I think Darius is putting together. Mobley's getting a lot of attention for the ascension that he's had, and rightfully so. Donovan is getting a ton of attention because, one, Donovan is Donovan Mitchell, and that always makes sense. But the other component of that is how many superstars have you seen just kind of take a back seat for the betterment of the team? So he's getting a lot of love in that direction. Jared Allen is getting a bunch of love nationally as well. And I do see Darius Garland as the forgotten part of the core four as far as the credit is concerned.
I would ask, I'm not saying from you, but I don't know why he can't also get credit. I mean, you and Chris are right. He's not getting the requisite credit.
He can, but like, if you know,
I just
sure
don't understand why.
I'm sure you've noticed in the past week or so, anybody that wants to do the Cavs aren't getting national attention narrative, that died. That one's 6 feet under. There's no reclaiming that. The Cavs are on every national publication that I read, that I take in, random podcast, random NBA people. They've been the center of it for the previous week. Everyone is discussing Cavs basketball. And I think Darius and Darius's camp is looking around and saying, why am I not getting the same attention as Donovan is, as Jared Allen is, and then obviously as Evan Mobley is?
On one hand, it's a very valid conversation. I mean, Darius's numbers, his shooting numbers, seven assists
up.
Per game.
Everything's up.
Like, everything. He's not, I mean, it's 20 and a half points per game, which is not
but he's way more efficient.
Well, and he's doing it in less minutes.
Yeah.
And he's also healthy. His defense is better. Like, there's so much about what he's doing that is better. So, on one hand, I agree. Like, yeah, they're 29-4, and you're a huge part of that because there have been times where you've taken over games late in the game. I don't think I've seen Evan do that as much as I've seen Darius. As a matter of fact, I think this year, at least early in the season, it felt like, oh, tonight's Darius's night and maybe tomorrow's Donovan's. Like, that's cool a little bit because everybody's kind of settled into their role.
Yeah.
But so I understand it. But man, it just makes me, it kind of, once you start hearing, you haven't even done anything. You haven't done anything in the playoffs. We start to hear, yeah, Darius's camp is a little curious why he's not getting credit. Oh, man, that's not what I want to hear at 29-4.
When he brought up the shoe deal, right? And he's got that new deal with New Balance, if memory serves. Jax, is that right? Is it New Balance? I think that's the deal he's got.
Yeah, New Balance.
I'm wearing some Darius's right now.
New Balance had some guys, man. Like, wasn't Lindor New Balance or still might be New Balance? In a weird way, yeah,
my kids thought the N was for Nick, but no, it's for New Balance. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see you telling them that, and that's like your dad doing the Jim Carrey thing.
Isn't it wild?
You believe it for a long time.
Isn't it wild that I downplayed it? I missed a great opportunity to play like a long-range prank, and I was like, no, girls, it's for New Balance.
It's obviously New Balance,
dumb
clearly.
Nick. Should have played the bit.
But it's like, how often, it's just things I don't think about, like that you have to satisfy the shoe contract that you have in getting the essential pub and paying off in that, because those deals are worth so much crazy money. Like, I get Darius's side, but it just felt a little odd to me that this was what they're worried about right now.
I think, so this is the kind of thing that you generally get. Like,
hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Phil Jackson talked about it a lot in all of his books, but I think it was the 12 Rings book that he said, or 10 Rings, I think is what it's called, where he was like, winning the first championship is not the hardest, it's the second, because when you're in pursuit of the first championship, it's all we, and then once you win that first championship, it becomes about me. I would be a little disappointed in Darius if we're back to me again, and all you've done is 33 great regular season games.
It seems way too early to be that way.
Like, there's a part of me that's like, you haven't even gotten to playoffs.
Right. You're right. This is a conversation you have after you've won titles and after you've been there for a while and you still feel like you're being slighted. Like if Jaylen Brown this year came out, even though he won Eastern Conference MVP and Finals MVP, but if he came out after last season and now into this year and was like, you know what? I don't love that people say Tatum is the greatest American player playing. I don't love that he gets all the credit, and I'm looked at like Robin, and I should be a Batman. Like, that's a different conversation than what Darius is trying to do.
And listen, again, whether this is Darius's camp or Darius himself, those two things are slightly different to me. Because Darius camp, I'll be honest with you, camps are not always about what's best for the player. It's about what's best for the bottom line. And so, yeah, we think of these like these.
Isn't that the job of the camp guy? Well, like if you're in their inner circle,
we think of these camps as like, oh, it's in the best interest of what the player truly wants. That's not always true. Sometimes you have guys that are bad faith actors. Sometimes you have guys who all they care about is the money and the business side of it, and instead of like maybe what that player wants. I'm hoping that this wouldn't align with Darius, because that is the kind of thing that can get in there. And you know, if we can continue this kind of winning throughout the postseason, you push Boston, Darius's value and the credit he gets by the end of the season,
oh yeah,
will be incredible. His credit, and I feel the same way to some degree about everybody that isn't Donovan or Evan, who people just have their own fascinations for one reason or another about and get all the pub. Like, if you want that credit, it's going to come in the playoffs if you play well enough.
Well,
and
I mean,
that's when you can launch off to get your own team.
When you do those other hits on other radio stations and they ask you, when the Cavs are in the playoffs, like, what's the big reason why from last year to this year that it's different? You're going to say, I would imagine you're going to say two things. You'll say, Evan Mobley's development has been awesome. You might go to Atkinson because you were just so hard in the paint.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I didn't need to make
it
three
right.
Things. You were. You're 100% right. You had it. And that was great. Great call. But the third thing there would be the idea that Darius last year was on a milk carton and had the season from hell and was awful, and this year doesn't look that way. Like, they added essentially an all-star guard to the cast from last year, a last year team that made it to the second round and won 50 games.
I think we got to get Kevin Stefanski out there in his next five press conferences to say how good Darius Garland's been this year and how he's the secret sauce to the Cavs' success.
Can don't we get Kevin Stefanski to do it? Into this.
Let's get Miles as part Cavs
don't
owner.
Stefanski into
Let's
this.
Get Miles on this. Hey, no. All Cleveland sports figures matter. That's a really clunky
gonna,
way of trying
gonna,
to pull
you're
that bit
carve
off.
Carve out an interesting path of being like head coaches just stink, and but it'll
except
work.
Kenny Atkinson.
But it'll work because the line there will be show me that you're Popovich, and if you're not, then you just stink.
Nailed it. 216-474-0092.
Always be right.
Chris Fedor says there might be some concern in Darius's camp that Darius is not getting enough credit for the Cavs' success. You agree? Because I agree Darius isn't getting enough credit. I also don't like one out of the core four thinking that way after 33 regular season games. Jason Pinkston talks the end of the Browns regular season next on 92.3 The Fan.